this on here. Well, God is good. In spite of things in our lives that we face, God is still a good God, isn't He?
Yes. Amen.
Just because we face something bad doesn't mean God's not a good God. Turn in your Bibles tonight, the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and I'm just going to plow right into this because I want to respect the fact that you did come tonight, and I know there's a lot of people that have a lot to do on Saturdays, and since that you chose to be here and have been faithfully coming, I just think I'm just going to go with the flow and let's see where the Lord takes us tonight in these teachings on the armor of God. How many of you have been enjoying this?
Amen.
I've enjoyed it. God's really blessed us, and I think you're going to be more fully equipped to combat the enemy as he attacks, because he will attack. You're not going to be exempt from it because you heard this. What you're going to be is equipped for it. All right. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse number 10. We're going to read verses 10 through 18 tonight again as our foundation verses. And I think it's very important that we read these every night and build on them, all right? Ephesians 6, verse number 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore." No room for quitting. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. No option is there. He has not given us an option. We must stand.
Amen.
"Standing therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith," excuse me, "above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Can we pray? Father, I thank you for today. Thank you for these weeks, these days, and the things you've done in these services. We ask that you give us supernatural recall of the things that you've implanted and impressed in my spirit to share tonight. I don't want to just share information. I want to share what's relevant to what the people that are here need to hear from your voice and from your word. And I thank you, Father, that we're not going to be just hearers of the word, but we're going to be doers also. We're not going to be forgetful hearers of the word, but we're going to be doers also. And we're going to be blessed in all our work. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said amen.
Amen.
Now, as we go across this list, and we've covered three, and we've got three more we'd like to cover before we get in this tomorrow night. We've talked about, number one, how many know we've talked about the Word of God, the Logos Word of God being the belt of truth. Talked about putting on the breastplate of righteousness and what all that exemplifies. And last night we talked about having feet that were shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And I thought that was beautiful how the Lord illustrated that together by the power of the Holy Spirit. How that when you tread upon the lion, the adder, and the enemy of your soul, that the shoes of the gospel had spikes on those the Roman soldier had to stomp on the devil with. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And there's preparatory work. Peace is a powerful weapon. How many of you never saw peace as a weapon until last night? I didn't. And peace is a weapon. And I'm glad that we have the weapon of peace. So tonight we're going to talk about probably, I hesitated on doing these in order, then I decided, you know, I'm just going to do it in order. I hesitated at first as we taught this on sharing this one now because it's such a well-known one. And it's one that a lot of people are easily a little easier to understand that it's a part of the armor, and it's one that we hear so much about, and yet there's some principles that we need to grab a hold of about this piece of armory. This is one of the most powerful pieces of armory that we have at our disposal because it covers everything. Everything is connected to this piece of armory, and it's called the shield of faith. Scripture says here, above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, as we begin to teach on this, we're going to go into the Roman soldier's outfit again as Paul describes it as a part of our spiritual walk. And we're going to have, there's a couple of things about this I want to really bear out that have to be very well understood, that will help you understand what you're doing when you take a spiritual shield of faith. Number one, a Roman soldier had many different types of shields to use, and only one shield was really the one he used in battle. And there's a couple of Greek words, from Greek language that means shield. And one of these shields that a lot of times when you see people that are teaching on spiritual warfare, and they'll have a drawing of a somebody that has looks like a Roman soldier, or somebody that's putting on the whole armor of God, if you'll notice the shield, a lot of times, not all the time, but a lot of times it will be a round shield. Well, if it's a round shield, it's not the Greek word for shield that's mentioned here. See, a round shield was not a shield you brought into battle with you. A round shield was for a parade or a party or a celebration. It was something to honor the soldier as he marched down the streets of whatever town they conquered. He didn't take the battle shield with him to the party. He didn't take the battle shield to him to the parade. The round shield was just for celebration. And a lot of times in church, we got a lot of people that are coming into the house of God and they're rejoicing with a round shield, and they think because they danced in church or they shouted in church or they did the Pentecostal two-step in church, they think they got the shield of faith. All they got's they got the celebrated shield. They got the party shield. They got the round one, and the devil doesn't disturb the devil a whole lot that they know how to do the two-step or anything like that. It doesn't really disturb them how much they know how to pate in church. Amen. That didn't really bother the devil very much. But what happens is when they get up the next morning and all hell breaks loose, they can't say, "Well, devil, leave me alone. I pateed last night in church." It doesn't work. How many know he'll beat your head in? You got to have a different kind of shield to overcome, because he's going to hit you with something harder than he's ever hit you with before. And the round shield ain't big enough to ward it off. You just want to go ahead and make a flying saucer over that one and get the one you need. Because in the Greek, the word for shield really doesn't mean shield. It means door. It is the root word for the word door. So what Paul's saying is, when you look at this shield, it's not going to just look like a shield, it's going to look like a door. Now, I hate to use this as an illustration because I might be the exception to the rule, okay? Usually when somebody's behind the door, you can't see the top of their head, can you? This is one of those things, you know. Usually. Well, even in my case, you know. And it's usually going to be wide enough it covers the whole person.
Right.
And that literally, in the Greek, and it bears Roman history of war bears this out also, that's the type of shield that a Roman soldier had when he went into battle.
Right. Amen.
He didn't have a shield that almost covered an arrow. He had a shield that covered it all.
Right. Amen.
See, it went above his head. It went the length of his body and further, and he would, and it was heavy. It actually, what we'll find out, and it bears repeating this because you're going to see the connection. It really wasn't made out of metal; it was made out of leather, and there's a reason it was made out of leather. Okay, but it was wide enough so that it was heavy, even though it was made out of leather. But it was wide enough so he could be protected when all hell broke loose. And those flaming darts came his way. Because they're going to come.
Yes, they are.
I don't care how much you, as we said, partied in church. They're still going to come.
Amen.
I don't care how much you ran the aisles in church. They're still going to come.
Amen.
Running the aisles in church is all wonderful when you get that round shield. But they ain't going to help you when you need the door, okay? Because the devil's waiting for you outside the door.
Right.
And you got to put the door on so he didn't get you when you go outside the church door, okay? A lot of people don't get that. They think as long as I shout in church, everything going to be all right. Boy, have you got a rude awakening. Because it's not. But it can be, see. So this door, this shield was over his head usually. Now, if they were in a heated battle and they couldn't move forward, you would take that shield and you could, it was heavy enough, you could plant it in the ground. And fight from that position until it was time to move forward. And then some soldiers and some infantry of Roman soldiers had those shields where they could connect together and they would be one big huge wall. Amen. But they were connected together. That's why when we both have faith, it's so powerful.
Amen.
And when a group of us have faith, it's even more powerful. And when the whole church has faith, it's even more powerful.
Come on.
And when the whole community of churches have faith, it's even more powerful. And when all the Christians in the nation have faith for God to do a miracle and revival, it's even more powerful. See, the more shields you get up, the harder it is for the devil to penetrate that. Okay? So anyhow, this is a very good thing for you to understand, because it brings some understanding and clarity on how this piece of armor is first categorized when he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Because for years and years and years and years, how many of you ever preached for, well, you maybe not preached for years and years and years. How many of you know for years and years and years, we can think we know what a scripture means and can be for years and years really wrong? For years I taught that the most important piece of armory was the shield, because the scripture says, above all, taking the shield of faith, okay? Well, after I've been teaching this now again, and I started Wednesday night when we talked about the loins girt about the truth, I've come to the conclusion that the loins of truth is the most important part of the armor, because everything else is going to fall apart if you don't have it, right? So I really believe, based on what the Greek word for shield is mentioned there, I really believe when it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, he's not stressing the what category of importance the shield is. He's not saying this is the most important piece of weaponry, and I'm saying above everything else, take the shield of faith. I don't believe that's what he's saying. I believe he's showing us what its purpose is. It's above all. Amen. In other words, when you put that shield up, it goes above everything. All right? There's nothing that you can face that the shield of faith doesn't already cover it. Okay? Because how many know you're righteous by faith? You're saved by faith. You believe the gospel by faith. You have peace by faith. Right? How many know you speak the word by faith? Yeah, and then there's things, other things. We're sanctified by faith. We're healed by faith. We're delivered by faith. Our kids get saved by faith. We get blessed by faith. Everything is covered. It covers it all.
Amen.
And there's nothing. Let not that man think he shall... If a man's double-minded, James said, let that not man think he'll soon receive anything from the Lord. Double-mindedness is not having the shield of faith.
Okay.
So, as we go into this piece of armor, there are some things about faith you have to understand. Because, I mean, if you got a shield, you got to know how it works. I mean, you know what I mean? If you go, you know, spin it around like that, you just really don't know how it works. So what are some things we can learn about faith? Some of these are going to be very elementary, but you know what somebody is that's, if you're at a sporting event, and I like to watch basketball because I used to play basketball. You watch NBA finals, the best players. You know what they are? They are masters at the fundamentals. They don't do anything spectacular, well, that you've never seen before. They just do the fundamental things spectacular. And that's why they're in the finals. Everybody else is watching it on television. Because they know how to pass better than anybody else. They know how to guard no better than anybody else. They know how to break the screen better than anybody else. They know how to rebound better than anybody else. Those are fundamental things you've got to do in basketball to win the game. Form of shooting, better. Quickness of shot, better. Those are all fundamentals they teach you in basketball. Those are just fundamentals. A lot of times we want something spectacular when what we need to do is master the fundamentals. Be a master at the fundamentals, all right? And one of the very first fundamentals is where faith comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on.
If you're going to have the shield of faith, you got to get faith.
Right.
You got to find out where the door's being built. Okay? I don't have any faith. I can tell you why. It didn't come on the 5:30 news. That's why you ain't got no faith. It don't come on the 5:30 news. Amen? It doesn't come on Fox News. It doesn't come on CBS, NBC, ABC, or whatever sees. Amen? Even as, much as I used to like it, it doesn't even come on Duck Dynasty. It comes from the Word.
Amen.
And it didn't just come from the Word, it comes from hearing the Word. I just have faith, I can have faith and never go to church. Well, you lied, you can't either. Bible says, Romans 10:17, you can turn there. Romans 10:17 says, this is why you need to like preaching, okay? I went to church the other night and it's one of the best services we had. I bet it was one of them services where we didn't have any preaching. Where have we got? It's fine, the Holy Ghost can move and we can have services like that. How many of that doesn't build anybody's faith? I told you, I'll say it again, it don't build anybody's faith.
Sure.
God can do some spectacular things, but before you had a church service where there was a move of God and you didn't have preaching and bodies were healed and people got deliverance and all kinds of good things happened at that service, somewhere before that service, there was a service after a service after a service after a service where the Word was preached and the faith arose in the people, and then you had a church service where there wasn't any preaching, and you'll probably go about 5 or 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 months or years until you have another one, until people's faith gets built up to a point where they can receive again. Because faith has to come before a miracle comes. Did you hear me? Now, I know somebody off the street that don't know the Lord. The gifts of the Spirit can operate, and working in miracles can operate, and they can see a miracle, and they might not even know the Lord. But you aren't those people. You came here on Saturday night. You can't possibly be those people. And we're more responsible, aren't we? Romans 10:17, what's it say? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Comes by hearing, okay? So that's, we have to hear it, and what we have to hear is the Word.
Right.
Now, I believe we can hear ourselves speak the Word. I mean, take scriptures, say those scriptures. I believe that's here. That's part of the same principle works there. And I know I've said this probably here before, but it just so bears repeating. It doesn't say faith cometh by having heard. It doesn't say faith cometh by having heard.
Well, I've heard that before.
Well, then there's no faith.
Uh-huh.
It's never faith unless you're hearing it.
Amen.
See, what if I get up tomorrow morning and I preach this very same message? I'm going home. He preached that last night. See, you determine whether you've heard it or you're hearing it. That's good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Not the preacher. You determine that.
Brother Jim preached on the second coming.
Well, I don't know if he did, but
he preached on the second coming the last 3 Sunday mornings in a row. I've heard it already.
Then it's not faith. You're just being hard-headed. See, it's either you're hearing the faith or you're being hard-headed.
Oh, wow.
Are you hearing faith? You can't have heard faith. You've got to be hearing faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's why it's so important to be at church or to be speaking the Word all the time, because you always have to be hearing it, listening. Because I know the devil's talking all the time. Have you ever done that with the devil? Does he tempt you with the same thing more than once?
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever told him that? I mean, you'll tell me that, but you won't tell the devil that.
Right.
I've heard that before, devil. Well, if the devil says it 15 times after 14th one, the 15th one, if you're still listening to it, he might got you convinced finally, right?
Amen.
The lie that he told you that you thought was a lie the first time he told you, after the 15th time, you begin to hear, believe it. You know why? You're starting to hear it now. Amen? What you ought to do is say, you ought to tell him what you tell some preachers. Oh, I've heard that before. Just shut up.
Who said that?
Yeah, who said that? Amen. She got that after 2 years, sister. First, I asked her if she remembered, and she said yes. Well, that's not going to work good there. Amen. I want to say this, but I'll probably use this here, and it's just so good. If I told you Brother Jim tomorrow after church is going to take us all out to eat steak. Amen. Hang on, brother, just illustration. And you know, steak, tall salad, baked potatoes, sour cream, bacon bits, all that good stuff. Strawberry shortcake for dessert. He's going to do it tomorrow. How many of you go?
Oh, yeah.
Raise your hand if you go. Raise your hand up like you're proud of yourself. Okay.
Damn.
Okay, put your hand down. How many of you have ever ate that before? Put your hand up. Okay, if you've eaten it before, you don't get to go tomorrow.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
Amen. You've already eaten it. Why would you want to go eat something you've already eaten?
Yes.
I mean, I've already ate some of these chicken whipped cream on top. I don't want you. I want something new, fresh.
How many know every time you eat it, it's new and it's fresh?
It is. Amen.
I mean, it's the same thing, but it still tastes good. Your stomach says, I must protest. I've already participated in that sweet, sweet, devilish treat, and I don't want any more of it. because I've already had it. I'm looking for something new and fresh. Not me. I die on strawberry shortcake with whipped cream on top of it and steak and baked potato. I've eaten it plenty, but you know what? Because I know there's something in my body that thinks, and it may be some truth to it, that it needs that material to sustain it. Well, you have a spiritual body, and it needs a right now word from God. But the right now word from God is not something you have not heard before, but it's something that is fresh in the sense that it's something your body's crying out for right now. And it may be something in the past you've eaten before, but it's fresh because your body needs it. Right. When you're exercising or you're working out and you need water, you've had water before, but it always tastes fresh because your body craves it. Well, your spirit, man, craves something that's going to build that shield of faith, and it may be simply Isaiah 53:4-5. If you're needing healing,
come on.
So a right now word doesn't have to be a new word; it just has to be a fresh word.
Right.
And it's fresh if you're hearing it.
Right.
So it's not, the freshness isn't determined by the messenger; it's determined by the listener.
Amen.
Number two, you have faith in His grace. See. It's not, I speak something that doesn't exist as if it exists, then it exists. That's not faith. That's just silly. Okay? What we do is faith is to use to appropriate what God's given us by grace. Okay? Can you say that with me? Faith
is used
to appropriate what God's given us by grace. See, the reason you put the shield of faith up, is because the devil's going to try to tell you every reason why you don't deserve what God's given you. But you say, no, I received it by faith. And what you receive by faith is what His grace at the cross of Calvary gave you. Look at Romans 4. Go to Romans 4 real quick. Abraham was not under the law. He was before the law. And he received the promise of the child and of the seed of that child being Jesus before the law was ever established. And God gave him imputed righteousness, and Abraham received it by faith. Okay? And look at what it says here. It's talking about us a little bit here too, in this verse. It's a lot of good stuff here, and I just don't have time to get into all of it, but it really needs to be said here. Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now if you read Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, God made a covenant with Abraham, and actually, if you really study it, you'll find out that what happened was Abraham fell asleep, and the covenant was actually between Jesus and God, and Abraham just got the fringe benefits of that covenant, and so that you have a right to the blessings of Abraham. Okay? You have a right to those blessings, okay? Now listen to what I'm about to tell you here. Okay? If you could get him any other way but by faith, then you couldn't get him by His grace. You would have earned them. See? You don't get healed because you pull enough levers. You get healed because you have faith. His grace is enough to heal you. You're not blessed because somebody has a magical toad sack from Israel, and if you send off for $100 and you put it in your wallet, you'll supernaturally be blessed with $100 in your wallet, and you'll never run out of it. I mean, that ain't gonna work. Amen.
Amen.
Just keep buying my books. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a lot bigger. If you want a gimmick, that's a real good gimmick. Okay. Matter of fact, I think we sold out of them. Here's the deal. Here's the deal, though, guys. God blesses you by His grace.
He does.
The giving grace. Not only does He bless you or bring money or blessings to you by grace, He also gives you blessings so you can give out by grace.
Right.
Scripture says, God is able to make all grace abound to me, that I might have all sufficiency to all things and abound to every good work. He graces me with the ability to give back.
Right.
not just with the, not just with the ability to get, but how many know the only way I can receive that blessing is by faith.
Right. Amen.
I'm not very agitated. But He has done some tremendous things that area in my life the last 5 years I never dreamed would ever happen, but by His grace.
Amen.
Amen. But by His grace. Amen. I already told you all that stuff one night. See, what God's trying to tell us is, I made it that you had to get it by faith so that I could give it to everybody by grace. Did you hear me? Because He all said, yeah, okay, I will, thank you, I will say it again. He made it, because sometimes you say stuff and people go, but they really didn't catch it, okay? That's true. Okay, listen. He made it by faith so that you could get it by grace so that everybody could have it. Wow. See, if you could earn it, then there's certain people that couldn't get it.
Right.
But since He gives it to you by grace, the thing you have to appropriate it is faith that He loves you enough to want to give it to you.
Right. Amen.
Now, I've said this a lot. I don't even know why I clarify this, but I guess sometimes you need to do this. Don't think I'm saying that you can just live any other way and God will grace you with something. I'm not saying that. But when you understand grace, it does not cause you to want to go sin. It causes you not to want to go sin.
Right.
If you really understand it. And by the way, that's one of the areas He graces you with. He enables you not to have to do that, because He even told Paul, my grace is sufficient. See, you overcoming has to be by faith in His grace. What's the Bible say? Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is thy victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. How many old faith in His grace tells me I'm already a world overcomer? If I looked you in the eye and said, are you a world overcomer? I don't think I am. And you know why you'd say that? Because you'd say, I'm not a world overcomer because I've done this, and I'm not a world overcomer because I've done that. I didn't ask if you're walking in it. I said, are you one? I said nothing about whether you're walking in it. You are a world overcomer. Your problem is you don't have faith that God's graced you with the ability to be a world overcomer. When you get that, you'll be one.
Amen.
Amen. That leads us to the next one. Everybody has the same measure of faith. Oh! You know why I know that? Wouldn't it be stupid if you're in a battle and one guy's shield's about that big and your shield's this big? And the next guy's that big. And the next guy's that big. Well, that'd be an odd-looking bunch of weirdo-looking soldiers, wouldn't it? That's what we think. Well, the reason Brother Mark can believe God for stuff is God gave him a special kind of faith. Yeah, He did, you too. Well, that's different, Brother Mark. Because the Bible says every man has a different measure of faith. No, the Bible does not say that. No, the Bible does not say that. This is where the King James has got it right. No, it doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. Go to Romans 12:3. Now, I just quoted a verse to you that said, the verse said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Are you born of God?
Yes.
Now, what's the victory that overcometh the world? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If different people had different levels of faith, that means one guy could have the victory and the other guy may not have as much victory, because after all, he got more faith than the other guy got. How many of the reasons don't have the victory? It's because one's walking in more than the other one.
Okay.
Romans 12:3, what's it say? It says, not for us to think more highly than we ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every one of us has enough faith to do what God's called us to do.
Uh-huh.
And that's personal, like our own ministry. But everybody has enough faith to believe God for what everybody else has enough faith to believe God for. Well, I seem to have an easier time to believe for healing than for finances. Well, that's your problem. It's not God's. That's where you're hung up. It's not God's fault you're that way. It's your fault. Somewhere you've developed your conscious mind, or you've renewed your mind to one area, but you haven't renewed it to the other area. And you know, Pentecostals, God forbid, Pentecostals, whatever. You know, we're even scared of the word prosperity. What you start throwing the word rich out, which is in the Bible. To me, rich means abundant supply. It doesn't mean Cadillacs, condominiums, and cruisers, okay?
Right.
But if a Christian has a Cadillac, condominium, and cruiser, don't you dare judge.
Amen. Come on now.
Amen. If the devil can have them, God's people ought to be able to have them. Well, I don't want to get materialistic. Yeah, and I don't want to be full of poverty mouth preacher. I hate to preach poverty people constantly. Makes me poor. Well, it went over real well, didn't it? It's true. It is a spiritual curse.
It is.
It's Deuteronomy 28. Pentecostals are the word. Well, I don't want to get involved in that prosperity gospel stuff. Well, how many know there's a difference between a materialistic gospel and a prosperity gospel?
Amen.
To me, prosperity is being blessed in every area of your life.
Yes.
Not just being blessed in your finances, but being blessed in every area of your life.
Okay.
Amen? I mean, can you imagine them doing an expose on God's house? 2020 is now broadcasting from heaven. God, we want to ask you something. You have millions of supporters. Do you think it's really cost efficient for you to live in this mansion? Have streets made out of pure gold? You know, God's not... One of the words for God is El Shaddai, which means the God that's more than enough. I've never seen one of the redemptive names of God being El Cheapo. It's El Shaddai. I've never gone to God's throne in a day of despair and said, God, I've had a hard time this week. I need a blessing. And the Lord said, well, you think you got it bad. I've really got it tough. Said, I had to lay off half the angels this week to pay the note on the throne room. So there's different areas that we should have faith in. But we should have faith in all those areas. Amen? He's developed within us the ability to have His... Really, I really believe it's right when the Word of God says... In the Greek word, it says have faith in God means have the God quality of faith, because everything we get comes from God, right? And the Bible says in Ephesians that we're saved by grace through faith, that not ourselves, it's a gift of God. When I used to read that, I thought what was the gift of God was grace, but Romans 12:3 says that He gives us faith. So I believe grace and faith are both a gift from God. Only if God gives faith, it's His faith. If God gives grace, it's His grace, right? So we have His kind of faith. Let me share what the difference is between one brother in the Lord or sister in the Lord and another sister or brother in the Lord. Is this will bring it down where you can understand it. I have the same amount of muscles as Arnold Schwarzenegger. I do. Yeah, I know you don't believe it, but I do. The difference is he's developed his and I haven't.
Okay.
Now, if you want to have a contest on any big chief burger... I want to have a contest of how a cowboy fan can eat a big chief burger faster than anybody else. Then go ahead and put me on tab because I can do a pretty good job. I've developed that muscle pretty well. Amen. But them muscles Arnold's developed, I hadn't done too good a job on, okay? But I had the potential to do pretty well with this body frame to do that. Guess what? You have the potential to have as much faith. You have the potential to have as much faith as Paul, have as much faith as Peter, have much faith as any of the apostles. Why aren't we seeing the miracles like they did? We don't have our faith developed like they do. Amen?
Yeah,
in fact, you have the, Jesus said it himself. You have the ability to have a faith that's developed as much as Jesus was. If you couldn't do that, why would he say, the works I do, you shall do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because they go to my Father. If you didn't have the potential to just walk in faith like Jesus did, why would he say that? I kind of think it might be this little nasty word we don't want to talk. We're lazy. We don't want to develop it. We want God just to pour it out. We want to take that little circle. We want to take that little circle shield and just be blessed to God and shout and jump and holler and everything. Be okay. It's not going to be. Have you even lived long enough to know that's not going to happen? Are you still in that daze? No, it's not going to happen. It's going to take some spiritual work.
Amen.
You're going to have to get up and confess those scriptures when you don't feel like confessing them.
Amen.
And read the Bible when you don't feel like reading it. And trust in God. When your flesh screams out, don't you dare believe. My dad, 20 years ago, was diagnosed with colon cancer. And he had a size of grapefruit, live in lymph node glands. From that day to this day, 20 years later, he has confessed healing scriptures at least an hour every day of his life. 20 years ago, they told him he had a 30% chance to live. The doctor looked at him and said, Curtis, I never get to tell anybody this, but when I say this, I really mean it. You are cancer free. Been cancer free for over 20 years. Oh, I wish I could get a blessing like that. Do what my dad did, and you might. See, faith has to come before miracles come. And faith don't come by watching the news. Go to Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Got a couple more things we need to share. Yeah, I mean, if you're going to beat this big old shill in front of you, you need to know how to use it correctly. Hebrews 11. Y'all enjoying the Word tonight?
Amen.
Thank you. Hebrews 11. One of the most famous chapters on the faith subject there is. Hebrews 11, verse 5. It says, by faith even it was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6. Now it says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. We can all agree to that.
Right.
Now, he's going to describe to us what a faith is that pleases God. He's going to give us the definition. Now, Hebrews 11, 1 tells us what faith is. Hebrews 11, 6 here tells us what kind of faith it takes to please God. Okay? It says, for he that cometh to God, first of all, the faith that pleases God comes to God, doesn't it?
Right.
Brother, I don't know what I'm going to do. It says, God, what are we going to do? It says, I'm not going to make it. Faith comes to God, says, how are we going to make it through this one, Lord? All right? It comes to God, and it must believe. Now listen to what it must believe. First it says it must believe that He is. I had preached that and heard this preached all my life, that statement, must believe that He is. And you know how you hear something, you just know there's more to it than what you're saying or you're hearing? I kept hearing, well, the first step is easy. You just got to believe God exists. Sounds good, but there's got to be more to it than that. I mean, if first step in faith is I must believe God exists, all I have to do to have that is not be an atheist. And that didn't say how you believe God exists. Some people in AA believe the doorknob is the higher power. So you know, that doesn't probably mean that. Then it hit me. You must believe, think of the tense. What tense is this in? You must believe that He is. That's what? Present tense.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of churches don't believe He is.
Right.
They believe He was.
Right.
And if they believe He was, they ain't in faith.
Right.
You know why they don't have any healings and some of them Baptist churches don't believe in healing? Because they don't believe in healing. They believe He was the healer. They don't believe He is the healer. For you to get healed, you got to have faith. And you can't have faith that He's going to heal you if you believe He was the healer and you don't believe He is the healer.
Yeah.
Amen? You know why you don't see a lot of people fill the Holy Ghost? A Baptist Holy Ghost have the speaking of their tongues in the Church of Christ Church. You don't probably see none of them. You know why you don't see them do that in Church of Christ Church? Because they believe He did that, but He doesn't do that anymore.
Right.
He changed who He was. I thought He was the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
If he ever used a name to describe Himself, and one of the names for God is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord that healeth thee. Right that moment, He was already that person, but right at that moment, He's revealing to mankind He is the healer. If He ever said He is the healer, He always will be the healer because faith believes He always is. Amen. That's good, isn't it?
It is.
And then the next part's even better. It says, must believe that He is, and must believe that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I just want to center in on that. I know the diligently seek part's good, but this is a part you need to get even before that. You must believe He's a rewarder. You must believe He's a rewarder.
That's right.
There's a lot of things God gets credit for God didn't do. Well, the Lord gave me cancer to teach me something live, straight from the pit of hell.
Amen.
God don't give anybody cancer to teach him anything.
Right.
God don't use cancer to teach you anything. He don't use sickness to teach you anything. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to go away and I'm going to send another comforter and His name is going to be cancer. He didn't ever say that.
No.
And He shall teach you and lead you into all truth. He never said that. And when you say cancer's teaching you something, you say, no thank you, Holy Spirit, I'd rather have cancer teach me something than you teach me something.
Okay.
Well, that's a slap on His face right there, isn't it? Sometimes we use all this religious stuff and it sounds so good and it sounds all pretty and all religious and it makes God sick. Because it just defames what He tried to do for you. Have you ever figured this out? Now, believe you me, you say, well, you don't have any compassion for the sick. You do what I've done the last 4 years and you couldn't say that. When you're sitting there with a lady that's got dementia and she sold her bed and she asked you to pray for her, don't you tell me I don't have the compassion for sick people. I know a bunch of Christians can handle some of the stuff I do. But I'm going to tell you what, I know God's answer is not to just feel sorry for them.
Right.
It's to have compassion.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Ever notice when people get sick, they go to the doctor, and they try to get rid of what God gave them to teach them something? Evidently, they don't want to learn. Well, the Lord gave me this, and I know He's got a purpose in it. Then why are you going to the doctor trying to get rid of what God gave you to give you purpose in it?
Right.
Gosh, you might get close to death and really learn something. No. Well, God, that's not a reward. You know, there's never been a scratch-off ticket yet. Three diabetes scratch-offs in a row, and you win sugar diabetes for the rest of your life. Ding, 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 ding. Never once on the Price is Right says, come on down and have your leg amputated. That's not a reward. Amen. Get in a bad car wreck and have your babies die in the car wreck. Come on down. That's no reward. That's no reward. I've been to some funerals. I just wanted to slap the guy that was doing the funeral. I wanted to put him where the guy in the casket was at. God took this baby because He needed a lovely new bouquet to put in heaven. And that's why He took this 8-year-old baby that died, I heard this one time, in a car wreck and brought him to heaven so he would have a lovelier bouquet. God created the whole world in 6 days. He don't have a problem creating the flower, you big dodo brain. He don't make flowers out of babies. He makes flowers out of flowers. Genesis, any preacher knows, Genesis says everything's designed to create after its own kind. A reward. Why do we think reasonably till we get to spiritual things? We have to throw a little religion on there.
Yeah.
And a little, well, you don't understand God's purpose. God's purpose is real simple. I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. The devil's purpose is to steal from you, to kill from you, and to destroy you. And as long as you can't distinguish between the two of those, you don't have a faith that pleases God, because somewhere you still believe it's a reward to be penalized. Aren't you glad there wasn't a lot of people here tonight? Because right now I'm only making a small group mad. No, I think you. I don't think anybody's mad. I think all of you. I think for some of you, you've heard contrary to this, and this gives you hope, doesn't it? God has never been your problem.
Right.
No. Amen. You know, sometimes because, you know, a lot of people lean word of faith, and I'm just going to tell you, I probably lean more word of faith than you even realize. We've kind of veered away from this, afraid people are going to call us Copelandites or Haganites. I don't really anymore care what anybody calls me. Just as long as I preach the word, I don't care what they think. I'm never going to say God caused somebody to have something just because some bunch of Pentecostals don't know how to open up their Bible and read it. Amen. You have never seen anybody led to the Lord with that piece of stupidity. I serve that God and I'll never serve Him again. It's called the devil. Amen.
Amen.
Boy, I'm just think, I can leave tomorrow. Or Monday, I'm going to leave Monday. Glory to God. Tell my wife, honey, I'm getting the truck run warmed up right now. You might have to come get me. No, I'm joking. Amen. I'm joking. Now, let's get a few more scriptures, okay? I want you to go to Jude. It's just one chapter. Go to Jude 20. I want to tell you two more things about the shield of faith. Now, as we started this, I told you that the shield of faith was not made out of metal that a Roman soldier had. It was actually tempered with it had some steel in it and stuff, but it had a lot of leather in it. Rick Renner, the book Dress Kill, I've been reading a lot of this out of, said that it had seven different types of leather that were kind of twisted and put together, because leather is very pliable and it could be pretty, if you put it together strong, it could be very, very strong. And when the soldier would carry that, how many know leather has a problem if it gets dry,
right,
if it gets too watered down? Mm-hmm. How many know it can get cracks in it?
Right.
It can get cracked up and fall apart, right? Agree? So what do you do to help leather not crack under the pressure of temperatures? Well, you put stuff on it, don't you?
Right.
You put oils on it. You rub oils into it. where the word anoint means to smear on. If you want to know what the word anoint, oh, that was anointed service. Well, what happened was the Holy Ghost was smeared on somebody. So what they did with that shield of faith was they smeared, after battle, they would smear some oil. And during the day, during times of breaks in battles, they were assigned to smear that oil on that shield so that it wouldn't crack under pressure. And it would be pliable, you know, it wouldn't fall apart in battle. If it's cracked and you're moving forward with that shield, it's going to fall apart when the battle gets heated.
Amen.
Only thing that keeps the shield from not falling apart when the battle's heated is you smear oil all over it. Yeah. So if you're going to be ready for the fight, not only do you have to have the Word in you, but you've got to let the Holy Ghost oil of anointing be smeared on you so when the battle gets heated, you won't crack under the pressure of it. If you ain't praying in tongues, don't go out to fight until you are. And make sure you've been smeared all over. That shield's been smeared all over. And notice, it's, you know, one of the things that's amazed me about this teaching is how it all connects together. Jude 20 says, build yourself up on your what? On your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. That scripture tells me that my most holy faith, I'm built up on my most holy faith as I pray in the Holy Ghost. What's that say? That say when I pray in the Holy Ghost, I'm taking that shield of faith and I'm smearing the wool on it.
Amen.
So when it's time to fight and it gets heated, I'm pliable and I'm not broken. I'm flexible, I won't crack. See, the Word has to be in you. That's the shield of faith. But praying in the Holy Ghost is smearing that oil on your most holy faith, the shield of faith. Glory to God. Now, let me give you another one. Notice it said that it's to protect us against the fiery darts of the wicked. That's the enemy. Now, there's several different types of arrow enemy soldier would use. One was just a straight arrow, no fire on it. You know, just shoot the arrow. Another kind of arrow that would light it. All right. Then there's another kind of arrow that they would light it, but it had a chemical in it that when it hit that shield, that it would break a pouch, and it was like lighter fluid. It break a pouch and it'd flame up all over that shield.
Right.
Have you been hit by all those? I've been hit by the devil with a dry arrow before. I've been hit by the flame arrow. And I've been hit with something, as soon as it hit, it just went everywhere. I mean, know what I'm talking about. Are y'all here? I know it's tired and we're supposed to be laying back. But how many been hit by something? When it hits, phew, everything goes crazy. Right? Well, let me tell you what the Roman soldier did to his shield of faith, or his shield, so that wouldn't happen. When that arrow, that combustible arrow, would hit that shield and try to explode out, it may leak that stuff out, it may try to flame up, but it was instantly put out. You know what they'd do? Every night, after the battle was over, they would take their shield and they would soak it all night and all day in water. So when they got it up there, and that arrow came, and it tried to flame out. Have you ever tried to burn wet leaves that are really wet? You got to put, it takes a bunch of stuff to put on it. I won't even tell you how I got in trouble with my wife one time by putting gasoline on the thing. It was a bad deal. But you know what I'm going to tell you something. It takes a lot to get something wet fired. Amen? And if you keep your shield soaked in the water, when the arrow comes, it will extinguish that flame every time. You got scripture for that? Thank you. Yes, I do. Go to the book of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, 26. Did I say 1 Thessalonians 5:26? I was wrong. So if it's second, I don't know what I did here. 4, Is it 4:26? That scripture says greet him. It says greet him with a brethren with a holy kiss. That's not what I'm talking about. It's going to have to be off the transcribe here. I don't know why I wrote it down here wrong. Anyhow, here's what you do. That's pretty good. Y'all got it finally. Well, anyhow, the Word of God says that we're cleansed by the washing of the water of the Word. Okay? Now, this is a statement the Lord said to put down here, because this just hit me when I was coming here. Listen to this. Faith comes by hearing the Word, but the soaking of that shield comes by staying in the Word. You just don't hear the Word and stay from there. You keep soaking it. You keep reading it. See, when you're doing that, everybody's looking up that scripture on their phone. I didn't have that luxury. Amen. Well, really, I did today. Amen. Soak. If you have faith to hear the Word, but you don't have faith to spend time in the Word, eventually that shield will catch on fire. You've got to keep it soaked in the Word. Let's stand to our feet. Y'all receive from the Word tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Good stuff, right? Good stuff. Why don't you lift your hands to heaven? Father, we praise you for your Word tonight. Thank you for your Word. I'm so glad that Jesus gave us the new covenant. And we have so many things that we can walk in and learn from and have the victory over. Amen. Listen, you need to be challenged by this in this respect. God's trying, for somebody, I think there's a lot of somebodies, but in particular, there's some people here that God's trying to get you to think differently about things. All right. You know, the Bible says to have the mind of Christ, but you don't just start out with the mind of Christ. You have to change the way you think to get there. The only way you're going to change the way you think is change what you think about.
Amen.
And you change, the only way you're going to change what you think about is change what you allow into your mind and into your heart and upon your eyes and upon your ears. Remember, my son, attend to my words, give attention to it. Incline thy ear into my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them. And they are health to all their flesh. Why don't you all raise your hands and thank God for His Word tonight. Hallelujah.